we're on.
We're here to investigate a patient that killed three innocent teenagers on a Halloween in 1978. He was shot by his own psychiatrist and taken into custody that night, and has spent the last 40 years in captivity.
Everyone in my family, like, turns into a nutcase this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, your grandmother is Laurie Strode. She was almost murdered.
Wasn't it her brother who murdered all those babysitters?
No, it was not her brother. That's something that people made up.
Do you know that I pray every night that he would escape? So I can kill him. He's waited for this night. He's waited for me. I've waited for him.
Get out the room! Get inside!
You don't believe in the boogeyman?
He's here!
Michael!
I got a rock.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another fun-filled episode of the Everyday's Halloween podcast on this lovely Hallows Hallow Eve. That's right. I'm recording this, actually, from my car. I'm driving from work currently, and I haven't had a chance to record something. So you guys are going to get something a little different for this Halloween season. This podcast is going to be a little live, not as many edits. I got to put my seatbelt on because shit. And make sure I don't hit anybody. And yeah, so this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about the new Halloween movie, of course, and a lot of stuff that's just been coming out this October season, and see if it's held up to par compared to previous Halloween seasons. So let's just dive right into it. I've recently jumped back into the Halloween films. Yes, that's right. The original Halloween films to prepare for this screening. So I watched the original Halloween first. Just so when I went and saw this retelling. It is a sequel. I need to just suck up my pride. You know, the Thorn trilogy is not a thing. Rob Zombie's films are no longer a thing. The H2O Resurrection sequels are no longer a thing. It is John Carpenter and Deborah Hill's Halloween and Halloween 2018 so far. But yeah, so I watched the first one. It's right now, it's on Shudder. You can watch Halloween 4 and 5 all exclusively to Shudder streaming right now, which is very nice. Shudder's been such a great app. I've been loving it so much. You know, I didn't think I'd use it that much. I've just found reasons to, you know what, why not watch Phantasm again? You know what, I haven't seen Starry Eyes. Let's pull up Starry Eyes. All the Joe Bob Briggs, if you guys are familiar with Monster Vision, you know, he just did, I think, nine or ten films where he did does his pop-in, his commentary, his Elvira-type commentary. But it's not like Elvira, where Elvira is more like, you know, bubblegum heady, you know, like very like a teenager in high school comments to the films. Joe actually has some insight and some backstory to these films and stuff that you won't hear anywhere else. You can, you know, watch these movies a million times and watch the commentaries that the directors have done, but they're going to tell you, you know, kind of what the studios want you to hear sometimes. A lot of these Scream Factory titles, I know Rob Zombie, he's been pretty, you know, straightforward with his films when he does commentaries, some other people. But Joe Bob, he'll bring something special that a lot of people can't really bring to these films. Things that only he knows, you know, especially being around the actors and actresses you know, through the con scene, you know, he's heard first word from those guys about certain things. So it's really cool. So anyways, back to the Halloween movies. I watched the first one, kind of get, you know, fresh start. You know, I've probably seen Halloween more times than any other film. I think that's a true fact. So I saw the 2018 film. I'm going to say that, you know, I didn't love it. I had a lot of anticipation for this film. I'm a huge Michael Myers fan. I've loved the series since, you know, the day I was birthed. I'm pretty sure I was given a little kitchen knife and William Shatner mask as I came out. I don't know, whatever. See, this is stuff that I cut out that you guys never hear. People have been asking me about what I've felt about the movie, and I haven't really had a chance to really type it all out because it's a lot. So I'm glad that I'm doing this for you guys. I think that it's a good sequel. It's a good jumping off point. It makes it less convoluting for the fans, not necessarily the fans, but just newcomers in general that, you know, want to get into the world of Michael Myers and Halloween. You know, things got kind of, you know, confusing with Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, and then, you know, you pick up with Jamie, you know, Laurie Strode's daughter, and that whole series, and then that ends at 6. Because the Thorn stuff gets really kind of crazy, which I actually appreciate the Thorn story, and I think it could have been done and wrapped in very well, but we'll get to that in a little bit. And then, of course, the Rob Zombie movies came out, so people see that having a Halloween 1 and 2. It's confusing. So this is a good idea. You know, bring Jamie back. Let's retell the story. Or not retell the story, but continue the story that, you know, she's been out there for a while, knowing that Michael's gonna come back, and she's, you know, been paranoid. She's had problems, you know, with her daughter, you know, giving her, just trusting her, because she's grown up, you know, horribly, you know, just having to always be prepared that somebody someday was gonna come out, you know, and attack and kill. And Lori's daughter has had to get over that, having, you know, a family of her own. We find out that Lori's granddaughter is actually very close with her grandmother and invites her out and wants her to get closer to her mother. But obviously, you know, that doesn't work out too well. I'm going to try to keep things... Well, I guess I can't really keep things spoiler-free. So if you haven't seen Halloween yet, turn the podcast off, save it for after. But, I mean, it's October 30th right now. October 31st, Halloween is tomorrow. If you haven't seen Halloween by now, shame on you. We got to wait till June to get the Blu-ray. What am I kidding? That shit's coming out in like 2 months. Anyways... So, here are my gripes. First and foremost, I was very skeptical when I heard Danny McBride was coming on to do writing for this film. There are a good amount of humorous moments. Now, not to say that I don't like laughing during my Halloween films. I do like the light humor in them a lot. Even this movie had some pretty good moments. Whenever the babysitter's, sitting that one kid, he's super hilarious. All the things that he said were great. That's good writing. That's good, you know, to lighten the tension in the mood, like this character, like the babysitter, you know, only for, you know, bad things to happen to them later. That makes sense to me. Now, let's go back to the beginning of the film where Michael Myers' bus turns over and he escapes. So there's a boy and his father, and they're off. They're coming to, you know, they're just driving along the road, and they see the bus turned over, and they go to help. Before the scene happens, the child is in the car talking to his dad about how he wants to be a dancer. He doesn't like going camping and going out in the middle of the woods. He wants to just dance. That is funny to me, but it doesn't have a place in Halloween. You know, it just seemed funny for funny's sake, I guess. It just felt very, very out of place. The sheriff that works at... I promise I'm not going to go down a list of things I just hated about the movie. There's things I liked about it, too. I'm just kind of just telling you this stuff right now. So this is the light humor stuff. There's a sheriff that works in Haddonfield now that wears a big cowboy hat. And he says, what are we going to do? Cancel Halloween? Because there's a killer? Yes. Do you know anything about Haddonfield? Why would you not cancel Halloween? This guy's back and he's murdering people. There's a whole legacy about this whole thing. Why? What? How do you just laugh that off? And like tragedy happens again and he still does nothing to you know, kill Halloween. I would never want that to happen, but if Michael Myers is out killing people, you stop it. I know you wouldn't have a movie either if you did that, but at the same time, you write that in. This character had no point. He never shows up again. He's just very randomly there. Didn't get that at all. Now, I know I'm going off on a tangent here. There is a new doctor. His name is Dr. Sardane. And he was an apprentice to Dr. Loomis. He worked with Dr. Loomis and he took over looking after Michael after Loomis had left. And so he is now the obsessed one. Which, okay, sure, I get it. You guys are trying to throw your Ahab character into Halloween, and that's great. I feel like that's something that, you know, made the series kind of go awry after you lost Loomis. You just didn't really have that character, that pinnacle character that's, you know, trying to be the one that's stopping evil, you know. And I was on board. I was on board with this character. And then he does something drastic. And in the movie, if you've seen it, he pulls out this really nifty pen switchblade thing and he stabs the cop dead. Just one stab. Whoa, he's dead. Oh, big twist of the movie that the doctor that's been looking after Michael is crazy. And he dons the Michael Myers mask. He puts on the Michael Myers mask. My brain at this point is going all over the place. What does this mean? Are we going back to the Thorn series? Are we getting a cult thing coming into Michael Myers? You know, maybe this doctor, you know, he's been obsessing with Michael for over all these years and has wanted to know what is it like to wear that mask and kill. He's been around. He's been this legacy, this thing that people talk about. And finally, he has his hands on the mask and he has Michael Myers in his grasp. And he had Laurie Strode's daughter. Everything was lining up perfectly for this character. You know, something interesting. So in the beginning of the movie, the babysitter's walking with her friends, and one of the stoner friends says, "What makes Michael Myers so great? He only killed 5 kids on Halloween night back in the 70s. Today's standards, that's nothing. That's, I mean, we have mass murderers, and you know, these guys are bombing, you know, children hospitals, and you know, like, it's horrible things. And these are the people that, you know, are like, they just take out massive amounts of people, and they're the true serial killers. What is this guy that took a butcher knife and killed 5 people in a rural small town? Why is he really a big thing?" Well, maybe this is the start of that. You know, you foreshadowed that in the movie. Now this doctor is donning the mask and we find out, you know, maybe there's something more. Maybe this doctor was a plant, was a spy for a while, and they said they pay homage to all the other films, and I thought this was going to be the moment where they kind of pay homage, not to just copy the Thorn thing in general, because that would, they don't want to do sequels to what's already been done. This would be something new, something fresh. People that go along longing the legacy of Michael Myers and wanting to wear the mask and to, you know, to kill. I mean, it's kind of, they kind of did that in Scream. After the first Scream, there was, you know, Scream 2, and everybody was wearing the masks and you weren't really sure who was the killer. There was an obsession there. I thought that would have been a great turn for the series. So I think it's Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers, where there's multiple Michael Myers, and they're all around Dr. Loomis and the police officer, and he has his gun out, and he goes, "Don't shoot!" And they're like, oh, and it's like, there's multiple people out there wearing Michael Myers masks. Now, what if some of them were actually doing the murders? You know, for us as fans, we'd already be like, well, it's not Michael Myers, so I don't really give a shit. Totally understand that. But the turn is that whenever you have Michael Myers show up and then kill those people, because he's not part of this legacy, he don't give a shit. He's the unstoppable shape. He's going to kill whoever he wants. You know, I think that would have been a lot of fun. So you have these cult followers that, you know, it's like Cthulhu. They're all worshiping him and they bring him back, and Cthulhu just takes one tentacle and wipes all the cultists away. You know, like, he'll always be the number one Michael Myers. But they dropped the ball on this. They immediately just have this guy, this doctor, who they built a character around, built his legacy up to, and he gets his head smashed. And, well, there that story goes. Oh, well. You know, to me, that's what this movie felt like. It felt like a lot of build-ups for a really cool way that the story could go. And then they just kind of catered to what we know about the first Halloween. Now, don't get me wrong. I love scenes that, you know, pay homage to the original. But I did feel like this was very much the Force Awakens of the Halloween franchise. You know, we have our scenes where instead of Michael Myers falling off the balcony, it's Laurie Strode, and when he looks down, she's gone, and he does like a little funny like head tilt, like, oh, is that what it feels like? You know, like, it just felt like the movie was pandering, you know, to fan to us, and I didn't like it. I didn't like the way it felt. So those are my gripes. The good things I did enjoy. I thought the Halloween aesthetic itself to the film was fantastic. They did a great job capturing trick-or-treating and kids going around. I did like the scene where Michael goes into the one room, the house with the hammer, and then goes into the other one. I felt like that scene could have been a little bit longer, and they could have probably done a little bit more cool deaths. But I understand that if you're trying to homage the first Halloween, you know, there's not a lot of blood in the first Halloween. It's, you know, there are kills that are, you know, off screen. So I can forgive those. That wasn't that bad. So overall, I did really enjoy that scene. I liked the babysitters. I liked the roly-poly kid who, you know, goes to kiss the babysitter or Lori's granddaughter and then finds out, oh, I didn't mean to do that. His character. But there was a character who we're supposed to hate. And it's Lori's granddaughter's boyfriend, and this piece of shit, he's at the Halloween party and they're all dancing and he's doing, you know, cross-dressing Bonnie and Clyde with, you know, Lori's granddaughter. Very sweet, very fun. And of course he's flirting with another girl and they're kissing, and Lori's granddaughter sees this and gets angry, and he notices and goes, oh, you know, she came on to me, I'm so sorry. And then they get upset, or he gets upset that she's mad at him. So he takes her phone and he throws it into a bowl of cheese dip. So, okay, this guy's already, he's the one that's been kissing the other girl. He takes her phone and throws it in the cheese dip. All right, we're immediately supposed to hate this kid. He's dressed as a woman. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, like, he's dressed as, he's very vulnerable at this moment as this character. And you want to see him die, and it doesn't happen. The kid never comes back. I don't get it. I don't know how you make somebody like us as audience members hate this character only to just never bring them back. Same with the sheriff with the big hat. He's an idiot. We're supposed to hate him, and you never bring him back. Michael Myers never kills these people that we hate in this movie. Instead, he kills the roly-poly kid who, you know, he was kind of a sweet kid. Yeah, he kind of messed up and then thought, you know, Lori's granddaughter was hitting on him. But we kill him, or they kill him in the movie. And I just hated that. I thought Michael looked great. I thought the actor who portrayed him as old Michael Myers did a really great job. I know that they brought back the original, and Nick and him worked together to kind of show off the mannerisms. So yeah, everything with Michael was great. His mask looked awesome. You know, Laurie Strode looked really good. You know, I liked that her wig looked really great, is keeping that big poofy hair. The attention to detail for Halloween was good. I mean, we see the straw hat that's originally in Laurie's room. She's a very, you know, folky girl, and that stuff's still in her house. Her house is still very wood, you know, paneling and whatnot. I enjoyed that. What else? The podcasters wasn't a big fan. So how did these podcasters get a hold of Michael Myers' mask? You know, this is criminal evidence, and they just happen to have it sitting in their trunk. I think these two characters could have been something pretty big. I listen to a lot of crime podcasts myself, and hear about these kind of, you know, these guys going around and you know, hitting people up and finding out their pasts, and, you know, wouldn't that be cool if they're, you know, their legacy looking into it? I was hoping. I'm having all like my better Halloween sequel ideas here. I was hoping that the one guy was Tommy Jarvis, who Laurie was looking after. I want it to be. Or wait, is it Tommy Jarvis? Shit! Now I'm getting my Halloween mythology all screwed up. I think it's Tommy that she's babysitting. Anyways, the kid that she's babysitting, I think would have been a fantastic idea to have him coming back. And now he's obsessed and he wants to meet up with Lori, and he has the mask and he has the podcast and he's been obsessed with the shape ever since and wants to finally get back you know, and just get some answers to what really fucked up his life. I mean, he was getting being babysit, and then all these people around him were dying. Well, these two characters are just random people who just want to know more about Michael, and they're just one-offs to die in the gas station where Michael gets his blue jumpsuit. Again, nothing really ties these characters to the story. They're just cannon fodder. Sure. I think that's what they were going for in this movie in the first place, was the fact that they didn't want the brother and sister thing to be there. I get that. And it's true. I liked the idea that, you know, Michael didn't have an agenda. He was just killing to kill. But you're basing it off this long-running film that's been out for years. Take some of these characters and take liberties. It almost felt like they were just like, throw away everything you know about Halloween and don't give a shit and just write the script. They could have really pulled in some really good characters. Now, if you guys do enjoy them, if you did enjoy the movie, don't let me make you guys not like it. Like, it is a good sequel. It'll be around. I guarantee they're going to make a sequel, because that's what Jason Blum has already said. You know, they're not opposed to not making any more films. And I think Jamie Lee said she'd be down to do another one. So honestly, yeah, I'm totally down. I mean, a lot of people didn't like Rob Zombie's Halloween. And then Rob Zombie came out and did Halloween 2, which was nothing was adapted in that. It was his own take and his own story. And some people actually enjoy that movie more because it was now a sequel. It's now Rob doing his own story to a franchise that was already like, okay, well, you have to have Laurie in this movie and you have to do these steps. Maybe they felt they had to do these steps in order to tie the first one to this one. Now a sequel, they can come and really do whatever they want. So I'm honestly looking forward to a sequel more than I am worry watching this film that already came out. So yeah, I'd say it's a solid 3-star film. The kills were really good, great special effects. We get to see Laurie Strode in some of the best moments of the film, so that's been really great. It doesn't sit well with me, all the great opportunities. I think it's definitely the Dr. Sardine thing. I really wanted to see that character take off and build something that none of us saw coming in a Halloween sequel. Sadly, they did not follow through. but yeah, so that was my thoughts on Halloween. I went through the rest of the series then thereafter. I watched Halloween 3, which is my favorite, which might tell you a little bit of reasons why I didn't like this new Halloween. I would love them to see them, you know, continue the original Halloween mythos of just doing a new story every film. But yeah, we're not getting that. Moved into 4 and 5. 4 is definitely up there. I really love Jamie's story. 5 definitely drops her story by making her mute and just gets really annoying with a lot of the doofy cop characters. And 5 just not a good film. Then we move to Halloween 6, which I kind of brought up earlier. I love the Thorn stuff, but you have to watch the director's cut because that original cut's really painful. Paul Rudd plays a very straight character, which a lot of us aren't able to see or used to seeing. And Paul Rudd, I hate to say it, he's still working on his acting chops in this movie. But everybody else around him is pretty awful too, so it doesn't really matter. But it's still a fun movie if you really want to throw everything you know away about Michael Myers and you really want to dive into that character. This is just like a new rebirthing of that character. And for some reason, I dig that mask. The mask they use in Part 6, Curse of Michael Myers, is a lot of fun. I didn't get to H2O and Resurrection, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I've heard some people compare this new movie to H2O. It's kind of like what it was 20 years later, coming out like this new refresh brand. So H2O kind of was a sequel to Halloween 2, erasing everything that happened in 4, 5, and 6. We actually have Jamie Lee Curtis back and talking about herself, but she never brings up Jamie. Therefore, Jamie's not really a thing. She has her son, Josh Hartnett, and that's kind of the story. So in that trilogy, it's 1, 2, 7, 8. So yeah, and then Resurrection, I don't want to talk about that piece of crap. That was basically back when they just put pretty kids on posters when Scream, and I know You Did Last Summer, was big. Michael Myers was just a shadow in the background. And it was in the entertainment industry basically throwing up for an hour and a half. We got Busta Rhymes. We got Tyra Banks. We got Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica. We got the kid from King Arthur's Court in the American Pie movies. Like, just so many actors thrown into this movie all to just get killed off super quick in a reality series. But I did like that they brought back the house. The house was a big staple for that movie. And I feel like what this movie did was, you know, obviously they couldn't go back to the Myers residence. So what they did was they had the little dollhouse in Laurie Strode's house, kind of, you know, paying homage to that. And there's kind of like a scene where it's on fire and it kind of symbolizes, you know, the end of Michael Myers, if you will. Which, by the way, yeah, so Laurie Strode basically set up a giant game of mousetrap for Michael Myers to catch him in the basement. How do you get out of that one, Michael? I mean, obviously he's gotten out of it before. We hear his breathing at the end of the credits, so Michael's still out there. Michael Myers is still out there. And you guys know how I feel about Rob Zombie's Halloweens. I fucking love both of them, but I am definitely in the minority on that one. So, yeah, all right, so we're at 23 minutes right now. Let's dive into some other things that came out this Halloween. I don't know if you guys are big fans of Halloween Horror Nights out at Universal Studios, Orlando, Florida, and Hollywood. But we got to take a chance to go out there and run around. I had Kelly Martin on. She was a character, or is a character, out at Halloween Horror Nights this year. And we talked a little bit about it. And yeah, I went through all the houses, Stranger Things, Poltergeist, Halloween 4. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you were catering to me for sure. Killer Clowns in Outer Space, The Scare Zone. That's some really cool stuff right there. And yeah, it was a great year. I thought Stranger Things was a fantastic choice. The house is great. Not very scary. But I'm also in the minority of being scared in haunted houses just because I'm almost desensitized to this stuff. But yeah, I still get jump scares every now and then. Poltergeist though is definitely number one. Poltergeist was great. Slaughter Cinema would definitely be number two. So Poltergeist, Slaughter Cinema, and then Stranger Things, and then there's like a Darkness House. Yeah, I don't know. It was really good this year. They had fantastic. They had pizza fries. It's a bowl with pizza and pepperoni and melted cheese with fries. Delicioso. Their alcoholic drinks are very watered down. I just go straight for a Shipyard Pumpkinhead beer if you're out there, because you know what you're getting out of that. So it's really cool that Shipyard now serves beer at Halloween Horror Nights Orlando. The crowds are a bit much. I highly suggest if you ever come back to Halloween Horror Nights to get a frequent fear pass, because it is a lot, you guys. It is slammed with people, especially on some nights it's sold out, and I know a lot of people did not enjoy themselves. So you know, I can just say the best thing to do is look at Wednesdays and Thursdays in the middle of the week, especially early on. Try to grab those last days in September, early October dates. The closer you get, the more crowded it's gonna get. Honestly, I think the week before Halloween is usually pretty big. I was just out there. I saw Mystery Science Theater live. And on my way there, there was just tons of people waiting in line to get into Horror Nights. And I found out it was sold out. And it just looked miserable. So really try to figure out the days you want to go. Rain is also a factor. You know, if you're out there and your Killer Clowns experience is killed because there are no clowns out in the streets because it's raining, that's a bummer. I suggest looking into coming out to Universal or coming out to Orlando, Florida for about a week. Come out to Orlando. You know, we also have Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, which kind of sounds lame over the podcast, but it's actually a lot of fun. There are a lot of things to do here in Orlando, Florida for Halloween. We have Petrified Forest. There's the Haunters, haunted house over in Old Town. We have lots of screenings at the Enzian. Tonight I'm going to see, Dracula. I just saw Frankenhooker out there, Rocky Horror. It's been great time out there. So we do a lot of cool things. So what you should do is hold a week to yourself and take a vacation out to Orlando. And, you know, if Horror Nights is on four of those nights while you're out here, look at the forecast. See which days it looks like it might rain. If it doesn't look like it's going to rain, then just buy your ticket. I know it's a little bit more expensive to buy your ticket day of, but it's better than buying your ticket months and months in advance and something happen where you can't use it or you get rained out. Same thing with Mickey's Not So Scary. Mickey's Not So Scary, you can actually dress up too. I know a lot of couples come out and do fun costumes. Families also dress up. It's more for the younger audience, but they have a really cool Hocus Pocus show and firework Halloween theme thing with Nightmare Before Christmas out by the castle. They do like fun things on the Pirates of the Caribbean where they have like scary pirates sit next to you. Fun new snacks and treats and things like that. And of course, there are trick-or-treating stations. You come in, you get a bag, you go up to these big candy corn inflatable things, and there are Disney guest services there with handfuls of candy. They do not skimp on candy with you. They will give you... We left, Kelly and I came back with 4 bags of candy because it was at the end of the night and they didn't want to bring it back, so they just gave us candy after candy. So knowing your ticket is expensive, you're probably going to pay about $100, maybe $80 to $70 to get into this event. How it matters how when you go. But you're going to get a shit ton of candy. Now, you can also just go to Walgreens and Target and buy a shit ton of candy and just sit at home and watch a bunch of Disney movies. It might get the same effect. I don't know. But either way, you're going to have a good time. Come on out. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of cool stuff, things to do out here in Orlando for Halloween. But like I said, book a week sometime in October and don't buy your tickets. Just get your tickets to your hotel and then look and see which days you want to do these things. Yeah, okay, moving on. Let's talk about some other movies that came out. So I was bringing up Shudder earlier. It has a really cool list of films that came out. So Terrified is a Spanish film that just recently got put on there. And I think is one of the scariest films of the year. I've said it here first, you guys. Terrified. Check this film out. Think if Poltergeist didn't happen in just one house, but it happened on 2 or 3 houses on a street. And the street's kind of haunted, and people are seeing weird shit out their windows. Very cool stuff, very fun camera tricks to play on your mood while you're watching this movie. So much fun, and just really cool visuals, very scary stuff. I highly recommend watching Terrified. The Witch in the Window, I checked that one out. I wasn't too much a big fan. I like the writing. It's a father and son who move into a new house, and you know, of course, haunted things happen in the house. But the son treats the son like, you know, like a human being and a friend, not really like, you know, his son. You know, just kind of like, you know, you're a divorcee father and you're trying to connect with your kid. They wrote it really well. The dialogue's pretty great in it. Just a lot of the scares weren't really there for me. Next on streaming, I've already promoted it enough, but Paul Davis's The Body, please check this out on Hulu. It's fantastic. It's a funny, lighthearted, very violent horror film. It takes place on Halloween night, so it's more for, you know, you adults who enjoy, you know, going out and getting a little liquored up, and just bad shit happens to these people. Pablo from the Evil Dead series is in it, and he's pretty great. Just everybody does a great job. Paul did a wonderful job making this movie, so definitely check that one out on Hulu. Moving over to Netflix, we had The Haunting of Hill House just came out, and I loved it. I devoured this series in 2 days, which you can imagine was probably a very depressing 2 days. But, you know, the entire cast was fantastic in this. Obviously, everybody praises episode 6 for its no cuts at all scene, which is fantastic. You know, even if you're not, if you're skeptical or, you know, if little things scare you, just check out episode 6. And it's right in the beginning. It does not stop. It's just beautifully shot. A wonderful scene. Everybody was on their mark. Nobody forgot their lines, obviously. It was good. I was very impressed. Episode 5, though, however, is also very good. It should not be undershadowed. Because a lot of story kind of gets wrapped up in what certain things are. We'll not spoil that for you. But overall, it's a fantastic story. Definitely diverts off from the Shirley Jackson original book. But, you know, that's okay. The adaption, they play around with it so that way they can, you know, do a sequel. Because obviously it did so well. I think it did Stranger Things numbers. And they can just tell a different story in a different era for this film. Or for the series. So this family's done. The creators have already said, you know, they've tortured this family enough. They're done. So we might see more. We just might see people that moved in earlier on. Up next, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina has just released. I watched the first three episodes of this series, and I'm enjoying it. I was really a big fan of the comic book. I've been, you know, advocating the show on the Facebook page for Every Day's Halloween, and you guys have been pretty receptive up to it and really enjoyed it and actually started reading the comic book. There are a few gripes I have about the show. I don't know why everything is blurry. Only the characters are in focus and everything else is blurry, like a canon photo or something. And I get it. Like, it's trying to give this witchy feel to it. But in the end, I don't know. I just wish some things would be in focus a little bit more. Salem doesn't talk. I guess he's a demon that talks. And then when he turns into a cat, he's just a cat. So that's one way to play it off. It doesn't matter too much to me. But yeah, I'm digging the show. It's pretty good. It's pretty dark. Some really cool stuff happens with Sabrina's aunts pretty early on. So you definitely check out Sabrina. It did not disappoint this year. Looking back at October 2018, we got a lot of interesting things. We got a lot of interesting tie-ins. For one is the green burger from Burger King. I guess this is the nightmare burger that's supposed to give you nightmares. I had a chance to eat this thing, and it's a lot. Not only is it a lot of food, because there's like three different types of meat and chicken and whatnot in there, but it's also like $8.95, almost $9 total when you just get the burger, not even the meal alone. That's a lot. It's expensive for fast food burgers. Like, I could go and get, you know, In-N-Out or Five Guys for that price, and I know I'm getting quality. So you try it. I don't think it's worth the price. But yeah, it's something. This year we also saw some Funko exclusives. Now here in Orlando, we've had some drama with Funko Pops recently. But I want to talk about the Funko Pops that came out at Walgreens exclusively: the Invisible Man and Frankenstein holding the flower when he visits the little girl. I haven't been able to find these things. I have all the Universal Monster Funkos. I don't really collect Funko Pops, but I collect the Universal Monster ones, and I can't find the Invisible Man anywhere. It kind of makes me mad. So that's a bummer. So I didn't get any of those, but Spooky Empire just happened here in Orlando, Florida. And that's our local horror convention that happens every last weekend of October here. And I was out there. They were gracious enough to give me a photo pass for geek.com. And I took a lot of photos, which you can probably see right now on the Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram page. Really fun photos, really cool costumes. I love that show. I love that it's all horror themed. But I guess they had a thing where they had Elvira coming out. And Elvira was going to sell a specific Funko Pop from her booth, and it was a Halloween Elvira, and she's wearing an orange dress and has purple eyeliner on. Well, apparently the shipping department did not ship all the boxes of these pops in time, and you know Funko Pop fans are a little obsessed. They showed up. Some people flew out just to get these things. They waited in line a day beforehand at the hotel outside, only to have people in the morning tell them they probably weren't going to get any. Fire alarms were pulled, fists were thrown. People got angry, including the owner of the show. And, you know, Elvira even put a statement saying, you know, she's very sorry about what happened. You know, it wasn't on her end. And fans were being very rude to her. In the comments, I saw people saying, "You should have fucking known this, Elvira, blah, blah, blah." Listen, guys. Cassandra Peterson isn't behind this stuff. She has people booking her for these shows. She has people talking to her agent and working in deals with Funko to, you know, have something for her to sell at these shows. She just agrees to it and shows up. And she's the face for you guys to see and to high five. She, you know, she's not making these business deals. And a lot of you hardcore fans for these Funko Pop things are just being malicious and just attacking a woman who just wanted to come to a show and see you guys and thought it'd be a cool little thing to add. It's really, I don't know, the convention scene over the years has kind of disappointed me. That's why I really enjoy going out here and taking photos of the fans who are dressing up and they're working on their costumes all year round. You know, the after parties and stuff, because to me that's where that's where the horror community is. That's where Halloween really thrives. You know, you see a lot of the corporate greed all throughout October, but it's Halloween night that you see kids come out and people go downtown, and there's just a new vibe in the world. It's just people are just being fucking groovy, man. And that's what Elvira is trying to do. You know, she's trying to offer something new, something fun, and with her fans. And when this corporate greed comes in, and, you know, it's not even Funko's fault either. They thought it would be a cool design, you know? And, I mean, yeah, probably Funko has a little bit of corporate greed on their side as well. But they're just writing the numbers off, pressing the figures, and having them shipped out. It's now the person delivering. It's all up to those people, the middle ground guys, you know? And if you guys can't see that, then you got to open your eyes at these cons, man. Like, these celebrities and these, you know, they're all doing this stuff for you guys. They charge an arm and a leg to meet them. I don't ever meet anybody anymore. You know, my girlfriend was really wanting to see Sid Haig at this con, and I was floored, positively floored, to see that he is still charging $20 to meet him. That is amazing. I don't think I've seen anybody ever, when I've gone to a show and seen that they're charging a $20 bill to meet them, because that's what it was whenever I was like in my teens, and I was super excited to meet Bill Moseley and Sid Haig and like members of, like, you know, Escape from New York and Tom Atkins. Like, they were all about $15, $20 when you met them. And like, that was kind of a big price back then. But now I'm starting to see $45, $85, upwards to $150 just to meet somebody behind a table and shake their hand. Oh, and then it's another $30 if you want a selfie. Your fancy background, when you get an 8x10, just tells me that you pay too much money to meet somebody, rather than, hey, I saw this guy out at a bar and it was really cool to meet them, and I shook their hand, it was really cool. Now, I'm not advocating that you don't meet people at cons, that it's a bad. No, if you really like this character and it's worth the money to you, go for it. But I definitely feel that there's a stigma to the whole thing that just kind of sucks. So it's just all about being smart and how you spend your money. I even seen some of these cats come out to the after party, and, you know, they were still taking photos. Robert Mukes, I think he plays, not Tiny, he plays Rufus in House Dozen Corpses, was just shooting the shit with me and Kelly, you know, and being really nice. And, you know, like, you know, we told him, like, we were just, you know, asking about how he liked Orlando and whatever. And as we walked away, like, some fans were like, oh my God, can we get a picture with you? And he was super humble and very happy. And you know what? I'm sure not a lot of people come to Spooky Empire just to meet Robert Mukes. But, you know, like, he could have said, no, you could have to come to my table and you got to pay $20 to meet me. He'll still take a photo with you, you know, walking around the hotel, because he's a nice guy. He's genuinely there for the fans and wants you to follow him and like the stuff that he's in the future. That's why any of us do this stuff, because we want you guys to enjoy the stuff we do later on. So we'll be nice to you when we see you. It's whenever you're a dick and you say, oh, no, no selfies, that's going to be $35, because then I won't make any money this weekend. That's just a stab in the back, you guys. So just be smart when you go to these cons and just see what you're spending your money on. And if it's something that, you know, you really enjoy. Sorry, I have an Amazon truck backing right up to my car. Oh my God. All right. Anyways, so moving on. All right. So yeah, Spooky Empire was great. I got to see a lot of really cool people. I think a lot of really cool pictures. Other things that came out in October, we had Predator, Fred Deckard, and Shane Black were behind this one. Now, I love Fred Deckard stuff. I love Monster Squad. I love Night of the Creeps. They have such quality. And I will agree that this new Predator film did feel like an 80s film. It felt very cheesy and very out there. But if you take it as that, it's a lot of fun. I probably had more fun in Predator than I did in Halloween. And I never thought I'd say that. It doesn't mean it's a good movie. Like, it's not a good. And in fact, I've heard that they did pickup shots to change the ending of Predator, and it shows, because it is an awful ending. It is so pandering to its audience. It just sucks. But I also heard the same thing about Halloween. I heard they had to reshoot that ending because apparently nobody liked it. It's hard to get these things right when you have such large franchises. But I will say that Predator was enjoyable. It just wasn't good. So watch that one off Redbox or something when you can, or Netflix, hopefully. Next up, we had The Nun. The Nun, I really enjoyed. That felt more like an old Universal Monster gothic tale, all shot on location. I think I may have probably already talked about this on the last podcast. Really enjoyed it. But yeah, this is me just kind of running down things that, you know, came out in October. I saw Apostle. Apostle was pretty good. That one's on Netflix right now. You can check that out. That stars the guy from The Guest and Legion. And he's basically going back to a cult to get his sister out of it. And horror ensues. That one's a lot of fun. That's on Netflix right now. You can check that out. There's another one on Netflix, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't good, so I'm not even going to mention it. Yeah, a lot of really cool stuff came out this October. It was a pretty decent October, you guys. I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. I'm very sad to see it over tomorrow, or today for when you guys are listening to this. But I've also been very busy. I've been making all these jack-o'-lanterns that I've been selling. By the way, make sure to hit up Hallows Eve 365 on Etsy. And I have all these wicked, creepy jack-o'-lanterns that I'm creating. All different LED lights. You can get multiple changing colored lights with inside them. Really cool stuff that I think you guys would like. They've been selling pretty good, but I have also have something saved for the Christmas season that I'm really excited to show you guys. So that's where a lot of my time has been, is working on art. But I can also watch a lot of horror movies while I do it, so I can bring new stuff for you guys on the podcast. I'm gonna try and do the podcast a little bit more. I love that you guys are just, you know, foaming at the mouth to get more episodes, and I have some really great ideas. I have some cool guests lined up, and I have giveaways to do, just not for this show. The next show is going to be really cool, and it's going to be very soon. And I think you guys will really enjoy it. It'll be something a little different, but I cannot wait to do it for you guys. But I think I'm going to start wrapping things up. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. Have a happy and safe Halloween. I'm really glad I could get one out to you guys before Halloween. I don't think I've ever done this since the show started. So enjoy, be safe, just rock out, guys. Make sure to follow on Twitter. That's at Hallows Eve 365 over there. I think we're the Everyday's Halloween podcast on Instagram. Yes, I picked the longest name for that. And the Everyday's Halloween podcast on Facebook. I cannot wait to play a little bit more music for you guys. I know I have some things in the future that I'm working with bands to supply some more music. And yeah, it's some really cool shit. So yeah, I'm gonna go see some Hammer Horror tonight. I cannot wait. 35mm nonetheless, so that'll be a lot of fun. But until next time, stay scary.
It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking. Be in front of your TV sets for the horror-a-thon. And remember the big giveaway at 9. Don't miss it. And don't forget to wear your masks. The clock is ticking. It's almost time.
Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Super Shamrock. Happy, happy Halloween.